So when you go and ask the model to do something, say, hey, ChatGPT, give me a recipe for turkey dinner, it goes into its memory to say, great, I've seen thousands or hundreds of thousands of recipes, and let me find ones that I understand are connected to cooking turkey or something like that, and I'll give you an output. Well, for senior housing, it might be, hey, AI, go and read the regulations for assisted living in the state of North Carolina, and then tell me what are the licensing requirements or the staffing requirements for medical professionals. And so it'll go into its memory banks or go into a reference document, consume that information, and then produce you an answer.
Welcome to the Senior Housing Investors Podcast. If you are an owner, operator, investor, developer, or buyer of senior housing, you've come to the right place. The best way to stay connected with us is to sign up for our weekly newsletter at havenseniorinvestments.com. This podcast doesn't exist without you, our community. Thank you for listening, and reach out to us anytime.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, John Hauber is speaking with Kyle Gardner, the Chief Operating Officer at NICMAP Vision. They have an interesting conversation about data and decision-making and how AI is playing a role in that. John?
Thanks, Kelsey. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Kyle Gardner, the Chief Operating Officer of NICMAP Vision. He was also Chief Operating Officer of Vision LTC, which was acquired by NIC in 2021. His current responsibility is providing market analysis tools and comprehensive data to clients in the senior housing sector. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, John. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You and I go back 4 years when you were with Vision LTC, and I called out of the blue and said, my understanding is you have an amazing tool. And so tell us a little bit about the origins of Vision LTC, and then as you got acquired by NIC. Tell us that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I joined Vision LTC back in 2017 when it was a small but promising startup. And our goal was to provide kind of market analytics tools for investors and operators and developers focused on the senior housing space. There was another product in the market that was much bigger and more well-known than us, known as NICMAP, which provided market fundamentals, inventory rate, occupancy, absorption metrics. And on the Vision LTC side of the space, what we found is a lot of our customers were also NICMAP customers. So it was a really nice complement to each other, you know, the ketchup and hot dogs kind of combination. And so we were growing the Vision LTC business and then had an opportunity to join forces with NIC. And so we created a deal where NIC purchased Vision LTC and spun us out into a separate entity that's now known as NICMAP Vision, where the product suite of what was formerly Vision LTC and formerly NICMAP is all under one roof. And we've spent hundreds or maybe even thousands of man hours and a lot of money combining the products into one platform. So now NICMAP Vision provides kind of the full supply and demand picture for every market in the U.S., whether you're looking at demographics, psychographics, inventory rate, occupancy, migration patterns of seniors, healthcare utilization within senior housing communities, the relationship between construction activity and changes in market demand, and a lot more. We've really tried to position ourselves to serve any stakeholder who has an interest in the real estate of senior housing, whether you're investing in it, building it, or operating it, or even selling to it in some cases. We have data to help you. And we've started expanding into AI as a data provider, it makes sense. And we'll talk about that, I think, here in a few minutes. But we've also got some tools around what I call like value add for our customers. We have a listings platform where customers can buy, sell, and trade senior housing assets. That's no cost to them, no cost to the broker, no cost to the seller or the buyer. You just have to be a client of the platform to get access. We've got some healthcare data to help operators become aware of who the healthcare providers are in the space. And over the last 12 months, we've been investing heavily into artificial intelligence, specifically through OpenAI's GPT models, to bring AI-powered automations to senior housing investors and operators. So we have a very wide product footprint, but we focus solely on the senior housing space. And, you know, our customers have proven with their wallets and their feedback that we're on the right track. So,
well, I can say that when we started with Vision LTC as a company at Haven Senior Investments, we were just blown away. And then doing the combination of both Nick and Vision's data sets combined has given us the ability to really advise our clients wisely with data, and also on the brokerage side of our business, being able to understand the markets all the way down to the smallest markets in the United States, even the small towns. It is a beautiful package that you all have, and very excited to learn more about the AI side of the business. And so, you know, how does AI play a role in allowing operators and investors to access data for decision making? And we'd love to understand what the challenges are currently and how this AI addresses those challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. So to answer that question, let me start first with kind of the challenges at large that our data and our tools solve, because AI is really an extension of that and a continuation of that. You know, mission's the wrong word, but kind of the service that we play, right? So if you're a real estate investor, whether it be a first-time fund entering senior housing or you're a REIT purpose-built for this industry, you need information in order to make investment decisions, right? So 20 years ago, the way to get that information was to hire, you know, a consultant or a broker to go and put boots on the ground and maybe live in the market for a few days and do some recon. You'd probably spend some time there as well, look at Census Bureau data and so on. And then they'd bring you a large report and you kind of debrief with them over time. And kind of fast forwarding to now, the capability of analytics tools and demography and other analytics sets like NICMAP Vision and like GIS technologies have enabled kind of desktop studies where you don't have to leave the office to get at least like a fingertip feel of the population size and what's in the market. And Google Maps gives you some high-level visuals. You're still putting boots on the ground before you write the check, but the time it takes to access that information has gone from maybe weeks and months to days. And now with AI and the amount of data that we have in our tool, it can go down to minutes. And so the challenges that we're helping solve is really helping investors make informed decisions with more confidence and in less time. Like that's the motto that we're kind of telling ourselves here at NICMAP Visions. How do we help people execute faster to either get to an informed no and walk away from a bad deal, get to an informed yes and take advantage of an opportunity before their competitors, and maybe even help them define what a good deal or a bad deal is for them. That's going to change depending on the shop and risk preferences and things of that nature. But information and intelligence is kind of at the core of all we do. We've been servicing customers for 20 years on that theory, you know, going back to the early days of NICMAP. And now that AI is here, it just allows us to accelerate that process even faster. But it also lets us go considerably deeper into detail, right? So I think everyone's familiar with Census Bureau data or Bureau of Labor Statistics data, you know, tables on tables of numbers and you know, CSV spreadsheets, nothing really sexy, but it's the source of truth that we have. Your people are probably familiar with like Claritas and Esri. Those are two data partners that we use in our systems. And that data is available. It's available very quickly, especially in systems like Enigmap Vision, but it requires you as the analyst to make an opinion, you know, read the data and then figure out, is this good, bad? Is this normal? Is it an outlier, right? With AI combined with kind of industry experience, we can help the customer go from information to opinion or go from information to recommendation very quickly. And so AI is kind of an extension of the, you know, data as a service. Our CEO likes to use the phrase, you know, AI is the arms and legs and the data is the body, you know, so it helps makes it more actionable.
Awesome. And, you know, to tell our audience a little bit about just overall artificial intelligence, I'm sure many know what it means or what it is, or just give a high level overview of artificial intelligence using OpenAI, ChatGPT 4, and here shortly ChatGPT 5 is coming out. So pretty cool stuff. So if you could describe kind of in a layman's term what you mean by AI.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, if you're listening, please release GPT 5 sooner than later. But what is AI? What is a large language model? I think the average person's heard about ChatGPT, at least in passing, since it was released a few years ago. At its core, AI, or large language, AI is a type of technology. Under that umbrella, or under that segment of technology, there's a couple different applications. There's large language models, machine learning, natural language processing, and a few other technology applications. And I'm not on the technical side of the business, so I won't try to explain the nuances of all of those. But the way that I understand it, the way that I bring to my clients and kind of working with our AI engineering team, they're the true geniuses here, is large language models is basically a statistical model that you've trained an application to read and consume information. So whether that's a press release, a blog article, the content on a web page, if you were to take a picture of a menu, you know, at a restaurant, and you could convert that picture to text, you know, the language model could read that text and consume it. And then there's kind of a method where the technology is reading the text that's on the screen or on the page and putting that through different models to then kind of predict what could happen next. So it has billions upon billions, depending on the model you're looking at. You know, OpenAI's GPT 4 is currently, you know, in April of 24, when we're recording this, is currently considered kind of the market leader in model performance. There's all other models from Anthropic and Meta and Google, but what they're all doing is they're being trained on a certain type of data set. And then those models take what they've learned, and much like a human, try to apply that to complete certain practices or complete certain outcomes or create certain outcomes. And what, you know, I know this is probably a little confusing here, so let me tie this back together to something that real world example that makes sense. So OpenAI goes and trains these models on billions of data points, web pages, pictures, videos, you know, just think about like the content on the internet, and OpenAI's probably seen it or touched it in some capacity, newspapers, blogs, so on and so forth. As it's reading all this content, it's gathering information in terms of like knowledge or facts, but it's also gathering information in terms of how the human language is transcribed and written. So when you go and ask the model to do something, say, hey, ChatGPT, give me a recipe for turkey dinner, it goes into its memory to say, great, I've seen thousands or hundreds of thousands of recipes. and let me find ones that I understand are connected to cooking turkey or something like that, and I'll give you an output. Well, for senior housing and the approach, you know, where it becomes applicable for investors and operators, it might be, hey, NAI, go and read the regulations for assisted living in the state of North Carolina, and then tell me what are the licensing requirements or the staffing requirements for medical professionals in this state. What's the ratio I need of a med tech or an RN or an LPN to certain residents? Are any of those positions even required? So on and so forth. And so it'll go into its memory banks or go into a reference document, consume that information, and then produce you an answer. It's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly complex. But at the end of the day, it's a type of technology, albeit it's a cutting edge one. So it feels new. It feels, you know, in some cases kind of scary, but it's code at the end of the day.
Well, it's interesting that you spoke about you know tell ChatGPT for a question and it'll go into its memory and bring out output. Well, I did that before the show. I wanted a quote on what ChatGPT-4 would come up with in regards to AI itself, and it came up with an optimistic vision, ethical consideration, transformational change. But I like this one the best, and it's a quote from Stephen Hawkins. And AI will be the best or worst thing ever for humanity. So let's make it the best. And it's so true. It's really the individuals that are training these AI models. Are you going to train it to be the best it can be and be the best for humanity? Or are you going to create it in a fashion that is detrimental to us? I believe, and many others believe, that it's one of the most transformational changes that we're going to encounter in the history of the world. And so let's get back to where AI can add value to the senior housing ecosystem today. Can you riff on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the jobs, and I don't mean like job titles or the positions that people have. I literally mean like the work to be done by people who work for a private equity company or an investment manager or an operators management company. Look at the job content that they're doing every day. If you had to boil it down, you know, to really simple concepts, are they reading, writing, doing math? A lot of work that is done in the investment workflow and the asset management workflow comes down to reading something, you know, reading it once and committing it to memory or coming back to it multiple times, applying critical thinking and then creating an action plan and going from there. Or it's read something, go and build a model in Excel to represent the world and do some scenario analysis of what could or might happen and then create an action plan from there. And that's a very oversimplified way of thinking about the world. But when you look at the jobs to be done or the work to be done by professionals in this industry, and you realize we spend a lot of time reading management contracts, regulations, laws. We spend a lot of time looking at offering memorandums, broker opinions of value, pitch books and pitch decks and things of that nature. And then multiple parties are asked to make, in most cases, $1 million, sometimes tens of million dollars decisions on that information. But what is AI really, really good at? It is exceptional at reading, consuming information, and applying a kind of a critical thinking to that information with some caveats. There's been research over the last year that, like ChatGPT or GPT-4, those are the same models, by the way, that GPT-4 can pass the bar exam that practicing attorneys have to take in the US at a level higher than the average lawyer. Yeah. Right? Because it's reading and critical thinking and analysis. But it's really bad at math. LLMs are terrible at math. So it's kind of funny that it can't do third grade math properly, but it can pass the bar exam, which is in certain circles, right, considered kind of the one of the highest white collar jobs or most prestigious white collar jobs that we have in the US. And so if we play to AI strengths, it can help us accelerate our decision-making time in certain areas. It can help us dig deeper into subject knowledge. It can help us do scenario analysis in many different ways. And if I was going to break those out into a couple of different examples, you know, let's look at an investment analyst or a VP of investment at a firm. Like, they're reading OMs, they're reading contracts, they're drafting OMs, they're reviewing BOVs, all to make a decision. Well, with NICMAP Vision, we've taken AI and our deep industry expertise and created automations that use a mixture of LLMs, like an OpenAI, not in ChatGPT, or sorry, GPT-4. Combine that with our kind of own proprietary technologies, where like our engineering team, our developers have created code-based workflows that are what I'll call rigid, meaning that they're not LLM-based, that 1 + 1 = 2. So we've combined kind of the power of that custom technology with the creativity of the LLMs to focus on specific automations. And so one of the automations that our investors have been using and love is take a offering memorandum, just upload it in any readable format. So the PDF has to be readable, or it can be a Word document. We'll use the LLM to read the offering memorandum, pull out the information that's interesting and relevant based on some customizable prompts that our team's created, and then draft kind of a 2-page, 3-page executive summary. And as part of that summary that the automation's creating, we're injecting NICMAP Vision data into it. So your broker sends you an OM. You load it into the tool. You answer a couple of basic questions. You know, what's the name of the subject property? What do you want to ask the offering memorandum? The same way you kind of enter a prompt into ChatGPT. And then a couple of other basic parameters. I think there's maybe 5 questions total. You hit run. And in 5 to 10 minutes, you know, the time it takes to go refill your coffee, you come back and you've got a 3-page executive summary of the offering memorandum, looking at the subject property. It's going to analyze any of the financial information that's in there. It's going to add market comps from our NICMAP Vision market fundamentals data set. It's going to pull in demographics specific to your market area. It'll even give you questions that you should send back to the broker or to the seller, so you can dig deeper into the product, into the investment opportunity, and kind of go from there. Is that automation going to replace your investment team? No, absolutely. Absolutely not. It's going to make them a whole hell of a lot faster at what they do, though, because now, instead of waiting a well-staffed analyst team who's putting in long hours, maybe turns that same analysis around in 2 business days, maybe. Say an average team maybe takes a whole week. I'm talking about like a true, like, deep dive into the OM, the underlying data, doing their own third-party analysis. You know, that maybe takes them a week, and you're getting that same kind of V1 draft in 10 minutes. So imagine what your team could, you know, that same team who is pumping out reports in 2 to 5 days, you've just given them that whole, you know, let's call it 48 hours back minimum to then go even deeper or to go look at more deals. And what could that do for your process? What could that do for your competitiveness? You know, I think it can do a lot. There's other things we're doing as well. Just at a high level, we've created automations to help with reviewing income statements and reading financials, providing summary analyses of those, basically helping you stay ahead of market trends. We've got some tools built on the regulations. Obviously, senior housing's regulated at the state level by and large, specifically for assisted living and memory care. So the regional and national providers have a lot of rule books that they have to keep handy. And fortunately, AI is quite good at analyzing those. And we've created some workflows that if you know, every building's getting surveyed, and if you're getting deficiencies back, at some point you're going to get asked to create a plan of corrections. Well, why not have AI do your first draft and then have your legal experts spend their time vetting the information and updating kind of the workflow to make it absolute and applicable to the use case? But instead of spending their time drafting what is basically a template form, let's put AI to work there. Or if you've got questions of the regulations, instead of spending hours and hours going through these terrible websites, the hundreds of thousands of click-through links that the states love to utilize, why not just ask a question of a chatbot and get an answer back in less than a minute? It's quite powerful. So everything we're doing with AI really ties back to accelerating your decision-making process and giving you quick strategic market insights. AI is not going to replace your job today. And if someone's telling you that, they have not spent enough time using AI. But if your team is using AI, you will outperform a team who is not, plain and simple.
Agreed. Bottom line is, I always felt that AI was going to be a companion to us as human beings. Yeah. And that just makes everything more powerful, our ability to decide on certain aspects of the business, along with being able to look into the future a little bit, right? Let's say that we're tracking an individual within our community and how much they're walking or how much they aren't walking. Maybe that decision-making through AI can alert us in the future to areas that we have no idea we would have uncovered if we didn't have AI next to us. So tell us about the future of the senior housing ecosystem when it comes to AI. What's the future thinking that's going on behind the scenes at NICMAT Vision?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a two-part answer on this. I'll talk a little bit about what we're working on and how we're thinking about things, but I feel like I'd be doing the pod a disservice, John, if I didn't share a little bit about what I'm already seeing in the market from other providers in the AI space and kind of where the industry is going at large. And I feel kind of unique and privileged to get to see quite a lot from the different NIC conferences and stuff that I've been to, and it's quite impressive. So for NICMAT Vision, we see AI as being I like your word, like a partner. You know, we see it as being an enabler for team members to accelerate their workflow. The most value to be had right now, you know, in 2024 is for research and customer service and labor management, asset management, investment management workflows. So whether that might be someone in the FP&A department, that might be someone on the acquisitions team at a REIT, it might be the asset manager of an investment fund, it could be the VP of HR, VP of people at an operator or something of that nature. Those are the areas that we see it kind of living in right now. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about before with, it's very good at reading and critical thinking and doing some scenario analysis. Where it's going is it kind of leading us to think that there's potential to help with maybe labor management or labor assistance at the community level, at the management level, that we're probably going to see that in the shape of like staffing optimization. We'll probably see that in terms of embedded features in current applications, whether you're EHR, ERP. I think there's some very clear opportunity there at the ecosystem at large. That's not something NICMAT Vision is likely to want to touch on, but we see that as kind of an opportunity. for the investment folks, I think portfolio management, business intelligence reporting, there's a really clear opportunity there. That's something we are investing in terms of how is my building performing now relative to my peers? What's likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months? I think that's a question every asset manager asks themselves right now. And there's, you know, every REIT, every PE fund has an AM function, and they're spending their days kind of mulling over the data and trying to get ahead of their next competitor, the new entrant into the market. Well, AI doesn't sleep, doesn't need to eat. And once you've told it how to think about the world in terms of, you know, you've given it a prompt and you said, this is the problem I need you to solve. Here's how I want you to approach solving it. Then you've armed it with contextual data, whether that's the NICMAP Vision data set, maybe you're giving it access to your financials, maybe you're giving it access to some other information you've prepared, like you would see in a internal BI dashboard. Well, now you can just have your AI set up alerts and have it, you know, ping you when it sees changes in the data. Oh, this building's staffing expense has been increasing over the last few days. Looks like overtime budget will miss the overtime budget this month. Is there, you know, kind of ping you? It's not going to know every answer. It can give you some, you know, based on how you've trained it or what you've prompted it to do, it could say, hey, here's three things you might want to go look into as possible source of the problem. The human is still going to have to go do that. So fortunately, John, we still have jobs. But it's a great companion. It's a great early warning system there. And it just helps with the ethos of data-driven decision-making. Now we're seeing you brought up using AI to maybe prevent falls or kind of monitor how they're moving around. Like, there is some tech out there now that's using more machine learning and video analysis to do that. A company called SafelyU, they're increasingly well known in the space for that exact use case. There's customer success tools or kind of customer engagement tools that listen to a conversation between a sales leader at a community and a prospective resident and make opinions or recommendations on how those conversations are happening. So there's a lot of really interesting and highly specific use cases coming out with AI in this space. And it gives me a lot of excitement and hope for where we're going as an industry. I will caveat that and say, I also see AI providers out there who are trying to be everything to everyone. And I think those are the ones most likely to fail. LLMs specifically they have their constraints and they seem to be most effective and most valuable when applied in a very narrow use case. And so that's the thesis that NICMAP Vision's taking with AI. It's how do we help investment professionals? How do we help operator professionals with specific jobs within those companies? And again, jobs referring to investment analysis, regulatory compliance, talent acquisition, financial analysis, not trying to replace the VP of sales or the VP of investment, because that's just unrealistic. We're seeing and we're getting feedback that this approach is working.
Awesome. So when did you guys release your AI module and when did that come about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a couple of early testers who were using it in 2023. It was definitely a work in progress at that time as we were kind of ironing out everything. But January 1st, 2024 was our kind of official release. And then we did a push, kind of really started pushing it to the market at large in March of this year. So it is hot off the presses, but we've got a nice mix of investors, operators, and REITs using it today.
Awesome. Well, I went through one of your demonstrations and I thought it was fantastic what you guys have done. So congrats on really shifting real quickly to what's needed in the marketplace and using AI to do that. That's awesome, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's talk about the latest data trends from NICMAP Vision Data and what's going on in the marketplace today and where you see the trends.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's fun to talk about the data side. AI, I enjoy. The product's growing. We're doing a lot of cool things. But the data is reality. The data is the it's a measure. It's truth. And fortunately, my job when it comes to the data is just tell the story. What do we see? And fortunately, the story recently has been a very good one and a very positive one. So it makes it that much easier and that much more fun to tell. Last week, we just released our first quarter 2024 market fundamentals data, which showed occupancies improving in our primary markets, which is the 31 largest metros in the US. And that marks 11 straight quarters of occupancy improvement since the COVID pandemic, which feels really nice to see the industry rebounding, to see some customers making money. And maybe more importantly than that is a lot of businesses feel good. They're performing well, but the optimism in the industry of we survived the pandemic. We've made it through an incredibly tough series of years, and there's light at the end of the tunnel. Well, we're kind of approaching that piece where it's like, hey guys, it's not only at the end of the tunnel, but it's here. We're enjoying that. So at a high level, occupancies have been rising. That's being driven by three quarters of just massive absorption. When we look at the data, the trough of COVID, following that trough when there were sometimes forced closures at a state level, or some states were preventing move-ins or new admissions. And so that obviously put a huge dent on the occupancy and the performance of communities. And following that, there was this wave of pent-up demand where we had a few quarters in 21 and 22 just absolutely rip on a demand basis as people were kind of moving back in, that they had been forced to stay at home longer than originally planned. That COVID rebound slowed down a little bit in early 24, but starting in third quarter of 23 and carrying all the way through first quarter of 24, we've seen another big surge in absorption come back to the market. Our hypothesis right now is that is actually the early wave of the baby boomers coming into the space, or maybe the last part of the wave of the silent generation coming in and moving in. And when we look out kind of the next few years, we think that that demographic wave is going to continue and maybe only accelerate in terms of its adoption of senior housing. A couple, more specific data points I can share with you is we have seen total occupied units. So talking about numbers, not percentages here, hit record highs in the last few quarters. So even though we're not back to pre-pandemic occupancy rates for every market, a good number of our primary markets are at or above their pre-pandemic occupancy rate. Our aggregate occupied units or stock is at or near an all-time high right now. And I think that's a really important thing to note because it's telling us that the industry is growing. We're just adding more supply as we should be given the expected demand in the future. But I think it's a promising sign. Additionally, we're seeing kind of two different stories between the primary markets, which would be the 31 largest metros in the US, kind of sorted by population, and what we would call our secondary markets, which would be the 32nd through the 99th largest metros in the US. Those secondary markets are actually recovering faster than their primary counterparts, largely driven by what we call majority assisted living communities. So those are campuses or communities that have assisted living on site, and they could have IL or skilled nursing or memory care on the campus as well. But if you look at like their primary unit count, it's coming from assisted living. That's really driving the recovery as opposed to independent living. So, you know, hinting at that needs-based driven demand, maybe not surprising, but just interesting to note. Additionally, we're seeing construction starts kind of remain near all-time lows on a percentage basis. You know, looking at last quarter's data specifically, so this would be for fourth quarter 2023, year-over-year inventory in our primary markets only grew by 1.4%, which is near the recorded lows, and the smallest increase we posted since 2012. So we're at this kind of interesting pivot in the market right now where the aging boom of, you know, the baby boomers or the aging wave, as I've seen it be referenced a couple of times, is I suspect it's starting to break now where we're kind of seeing the early parts of it enter the space. I think at large, everyone agrees 2026, 2027 is when the baby boomer generation's maybe officially entering the senior housing industry as a potential consumer. And while that's literally weeks away, months away, we are delivering an insufficient amount of supply, of new supply to meet that demand. So we're doing some analysis right now on what the next 10 to 30 years is going to look like for the industry on a market fundamentals basis. And one of the things our CEO, Eric Morton, has talked about publicly is if you just hold penetration rates constant from 23 to 2050, and you hold our, you look at the best year of construction activity that we've ever delivered as an industry, you know, so industry aggregate, if we were to deliver our best year of construction every year until 2050, and our industry penetration rate was remaining constant, we would be short something like $800 billion worth of development between now and 2050. Like, so we're still delivering hundreds of billions of dollars of assets in that timeline, but we would be very, very short of what's expected to be needed by the time the aging wave has kind of impacted the industry at large. So there's a lot of work that we need to do and collectively. And I think if you're considering entering the senior housing market, you should take a good hard look at it right now because we're entering an opportune time for many. It's not going to be an easy path. I don't want to lead you astray on that, but there's a lot of upside that we see in this space. And I'm sure you're seeing the same thing, John.
We've had a number of individuals on the podcast. I've stated the number that you all stated was 775,000 units are needed by 2030. And this is 6 years. How are we going to do that? I mean, the current operators and owners are happy because they are getting their occupancy up because there's no new product coming up on the marketplace. So our others that are doing construction currently or constructing larger buildings or smaller buildings, whatever it may be, how are they doing it today? How are they getting units out of the ground?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have a firm answer for you, unfortunately. It's depending on the market you're in. Like, I'm based in North Carolina. The development game here is a little bit different than California or New York. And if you go to Kansas City, if you go to Minneapolis, if you go to Dallas, Texas, it's a different story in each place. So this business is definitely one that thrives under kind of regional focus, I would say. I think, you know, local and regional focus tends to work best. Not only do we have this large need with very like different market behaviors across the US, but we're also going to need more players in order to meet that need too. So it'll be interesting to see how existing constituents respond, kind of take on the challenge. I would expect to see an influx of new market participants over the next decade as well.
Yeah, we're both your firm and our firm are there to support them. And so we want to make sure that individuals listening to this podcast reach out to Kyle and his team. Look into nickmapvision.com and look at and see their product set. It's absolutely the best in the industry. And so, you know, let's recap real quickly the importance of having a trusted AI partner who understands the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're going to come and invest in senior housing, whether you're going to develop a property or you're going to acquire an existing portfolio, whether you're spending $5 million or $500 million, you have to have confidence that what you're buying or building is the right fit, it's in the right market, and that it's going to be successful. And why wouldn't you want the best data in the industry to help you make that decision and utilize AI to make your process go faster and smoother? At Nickmap Vision, we're SOC 2 compliant. We have decades of senior housing operating, investing, development, and management experience. We have a best-in-class technology tool and team. We have a purpose-built analytics system for helping you with your financial analysis, your site selection, your asset management, and your, in some cases, even your sales and marketing workflows. Make your life easier. Find a data partner. I don't want to talk my own book too much, but at a minimum, I recommend asking a lot of questions and doing your diligence. Whether you use a tool like mine or you use a partner or like John, just be thoughtful in your approach.
Well, it is quite amazing how, number one, you have the best tool on the marketplace. Not only that, you're improving that product every day, and it really tells how much you all have a center of excellence within your company. So it has really helped us be able to save individuals that we're consulting with a ton of money. Anyone from your individual that is looking to build or develop or acquire a 12 bed all the way up to hundreds and hundreds of beds. I mean, it's just the data set is just so robust. So we never debate within Haven whether or not we're going to not use Nickmap Vision as our software provider. There is no debate at all. It is the best of the best. So how do people get in touch with your company or you, or how do they start the process of understanding how they can acquire your software?
The fastest way would be to go to our website at nickmapvision.com, nickmapvision.com. If you want to learn about AI, nickmapvision.com/AI. I'm also available on LinkedIn and happy to connect there and talk more, but we've got a great team of product experts who can sit down and kind of learn from you what you're trying to achieve, where you're at right now in your technology life cycle, and what you want to accomplish over the next 6 to 24 months. And, you know, if we're a good fit, we'll make some recommendations on how to get started, but we'll be transparent with you too if it's not a good time, and we'll kind of go from there.
Awesome. Well, it's been great to have you on. I've wanted to do this for the last 3 years. What a great time for you to be on the show is when AI is coming out in your product. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me today, Kyle. And let's see where things go over 2024 and 2025. It's going to be a wild ride. So have a great day, Kyle. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Cheers.